Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies.
What's up? What's
with all
up,
the leaves
welcome
on the trees
aboard
are falling
to the, show,
and
the,
Horowitz, the
and
sound of the breezes that
ridiculous
blow.
Slow drift continues. The economy sucks. We got a lot of things going on. But in the meantime, I thought this would be a great time. I had a great call on Monday night. I thought I'd share it with you. So let's check out what I had to say. I think you'll find it very informative and very educational. So pay attention. I'll be watching. Here we go.
All right. Well, I guess it's game time. Okay. Welcome aboard. Let's get rocking and rolling here. It is game time. All right. So I was tweet crazy today, and of course you'll hear a lot of this because I'll be bitching, and I've got, you know, you know me, right? But as we always do start out with is our words of wisdom from our friend Connie, and who does a great job with the notes as well, and I hope you guys appreciate that. It's not an easy job, especially with me, because I'm wandering all over the place all the time. So, but the words of wisdom tonight. This is the name everyone gives to their mistakes, experience, and that's from Oscar Wilde. And, of course, that is true, right? I mean, you know, but there is nothing like experience, you know, and I try to remind everybody that failure is a good thing, okay? I mean, failure is not a bad thing. I mean, as long as you understand how to fail and don't cripple yourself while you're failing, you know, financially. But learning, there's a lot more to be learned from a bad trade than a good trade. And if you don't fail enough, it means you're not trying enough. And it's just something that, you know, I always believe in, you know, as long as you can understand where you are and where your risk is, then you should be willing to take some risk and some failure, some opportunities to fail. Okay. Because in the truth of it all, it's important for you and your future, because it gives you some of the answers that you can't always get on your own. And, you know, the markets today, I don't think any big surprise. I mean, you know, we said last week that we thought the markets were going to make new highs. I said also I thought we would see a little bit of sell-off, and we did. And, you know, obviously not as far as I thought we would go lower. I thought that we could get down to 17.5 or 17.6. And I guess we got down to almost 17.6. But, I mean, again, it's not – the issue is not whether we got it right or not. The issue is that we recognized it correctly. And now, you know, as we typically see, this particular chart kind of stopped, okay, and then started to move up and is now breaking out, okay? And the reason I have up the Bollinger Bands is, you know, I usually don't like to show them because they bother me. They're too much of a cluster. But, you know, I do talk a lot about math and the mathematics of the market. And you know, so if you look at the Bollinger Bands, if you don't know what they are, they're just a mathematical formula that follows the market, and it's about reversion to mean, and the green line is the mean, and the two outside lines are two standard deviations up and down, and we're up at the upper end of this. But if you notice last week when I thought we'd sell off, we did sell off right back to the mean. So we'll see. Again, I don't make any predictions anyways, but I'm certainly not getting involved here. I think new highs are coming. I just, again, whether they do or they don't, I believe that they're going to see them. I'm not playing for them. I am long. Again, I always want to remind everybody that I am long. I'm long the market through my longer-term accounts, okay? I'm just not buying here from a trading standpoint. So there is a difference, okay? But anyways, as I always like to start out with is my bitch. And you can imagine I got probably 1,000 today, but my big one was the one you saw online, and that is Matt Damon. I mean, you know, those guys have all kinds of shell corporations. They've got all kinds of money hidden all over the place. And but all that aside, here's a guy that is whining, and he does a commencement address for MIT and goes through his whole socialist venue or speak, and then all of a sudden, he's the same guy who didn't do the Bourne Legacy because he didn't get enough money for it. Okay? So, you know, if you're going to put your money where your mouth is, if you want to give it away, then give it away. But don't, you know, come out and give these speeches because you've got so much money now that you've taken from us, from supporting you at the box office. I mean, geez, Louise, what is going on here? Okay. I mean, you know, but the same as Warren Buffett. I mean, you know, again, these things just, I find them irritating because everybody's got the right to believe what they want. And I have no problem with anybody's beliefs, who they support politically. It doesn't bother me. Okay. But don't be a jackass and come out and after you've made hundreds of millions of dollars, okay, and you stashed it all away so nobody can get to it, and now you want us to give our money away as well. I find a problem with that. But anyways, so, you know, the markets are the markets, okay? You know, we talk about this often, and I think it's important to understand that they basically do what we think they're going to do. Again, we can't always capitalize on them, because it's just sometimes it's just not realistic, you know. And you're if you're trying to gamble, then you know most likely you'll find problems. Okay, so I don't like to teach the gambling methods, although I occasionally do myself. I mean, again, I'm not perfect, far from it. But I mean, I do take shots here and there. I mean, not right now. I'm not taking any shots because there's really no shot to take. I mean, remember one thing: if you're going to take a swab at the market, okay, and you're going to take a shot at, you know, any form of risk-taking or gambling, whatever, at least make sure you have enough action to make the shot pay off if it pays. Okay, that's the point, okay? Right now, even if you're dead right, is it really going to pay off? And that's what I don't see that probability part of it. So I'm not interested in getting too goofy here because I don't see it paying off. Even if I'm right, I don't see it paying off so quickly. So I just warn everybody that, you know, again, it's all good to try to predict, and, you know, I don't like it. You know, I do it myself. Okay, again, I admit freely what I do, but I don't think it's the smartest way to trade. I don't think that, you know, it's something you want to get yourself into. But also, if you're going to do so sometimes, make sure you have an advantage when you go ahead and do that. And that's what I think we make a mistake. Okay. I think that, thanks for about Marsh. I think that this is where a lot of people make a crucial error, okay, is you get so bored waiting for something that you decide to take a stab at it. But there's no real probability here. There's no great opportunity here that you could possibly see. I mean, you know, if you're looking for a great shot, and I'm not right, please.
And, I mean, this is the importance of what we do, okay, is we want to at least have the probabilities in our favor to give us the best opportunity to be successful. Okay. If we're going to make a trade, okay, then let's at least have a good shot at it. Okay. And that's one thing we talk about often is the probability model, because trading is really just a big probability model. So don't put yourself in danger of not being able to collect in the probability. So if you're going to step out, make sure you're stepping out where you actually have a legitimate shot at knocking it dead. All right. Anyways, so as we get ready to go to break here, remember our friends at Thinkorswim, built by traders for traders. Tomorrow, they've got the swim lessons, aligning delta and direction. And then Friday, they've got increase the yield of your stock portfolio. That's from 11:30 to 1 Eastern time. And then they've got technically speaking, which is 1 to 1:30. And of course, they've got the plunge weekly sessions, 1:30 to 2:30. So you check them out. You know, it's one of the platforms that I use, very user-friendly, built by traders for traders. Again, you know, nice. And if you give me an email, I can help you out with the platform. In the meantime, when you miss an episode, now you know you don't want to miss Bubba. So when you miss an episode, go to libertytalk.fm and download it every day. We just passed 225,000. We're looking to get to 300,000. I need your help, so dig there and download that show. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. I'm going to step out here for a break, and we'll be right back with some more education, some more teaching, and we'll be back at The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. Right, turn off the lights. We're going to lose our minds tonight. What's the deal? Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you on his glorious Wednesday of nothing happening. And of course, you know, the trading action was interesting. You know, yesterday at the close, they drifted lower. But again, remember that dull markets are very challenging and they will typically try to creep higher. So just keep that in mind. Again, not out of action, which is why we're doing some educating. So let's get back to the Monday Night Call with your host, me. Okay, and we're going to get some more education. Here we go.
I'm not recommending this, but I mean, you want a great shot. I mean, here's a great shot. Sell corn. Okay, this is a great, this happens to be a great shot. Okay, this thing's going ballistic. Okay, they're talking about a drought. Oh, you know, for every reason, I give you 1,000 reasons why, but here's a probability model that says, hey, this is a great stab here if you're going to do something. And I don't want anybody to do this. I mean, I'm short corn. I'm short of them all. Okay, here, I'll show you my stuff. Here's what I got. They're all red. Okay, wheat, soybeans, corn, S&P minis, crude oil, euro currency, and the FTSE. I'm short them all. I am long the dollar index, which I now think is wrong. Okay, but I'll get into that too. But at the end of the day, I mean, those are small positions that I'm playing with, and my methods for some of the things I do are a little bit different than anything else that I do. Okay, I have a reason that someday, you know, as we get farther into class, I'll teach it to everybody. But it's far too advanced today to teach what I'm doing there, okay? But at the end of the day, okay, the markets are going up. I mean, you know, look, we can talk about the economy. I can go through all the crap you want. In the end of the day, it doesn't matter because the markets are not the economy. The economy is not the markets. The markets will do what they're going to do, and the economy will do what it's going to do, and we cannot confuse the issue. This is where a lot of people get trapped by looking at fundamental reasons of why something has happened, but fundamentals don't play, okay? That's the point, okay? The markets themselves, as I said last week, actually I think about the last 3 or 4 weeks, we are going to probably make new highs. Now, one of the reasons is just because. Now, you know, you remember when you were a kid, how annoying you were, you'd say, why, mommy, why? Because why? Because. Just because, okay? That's the answer. I don't have a good answer. It's just because we are so close that the powers that be have the ability to pinpoint the right stuff to push it up, okay, trigger all those stops at new highs, and then take it down. Now, I'm not saying they'll take it down. We could go keep going higher. But that is going – I would be willing to bet on it. If I could take a straight prop bet here, I would take it. Okay, I just don't want to bet on the market because I don't want to take the risk if I'm wrong. But if I could take a straight prop bet, which means I could just bet somebody, I would bet that we do make new highs. Okay. Now, you know, we can't worry about that. What we need to worry about is where's the action going to come from and how are we going to best benefit in the overall market? So here, the Dow was up today 113, but where are we? We're right in the same area, dead in the middle, where we've been basically back and forth for 3 months. Okay. We've gone absolutely nowhere in 3 months. Okay. So why get involved here? Okay, now I would stick with, you know, a new high. I'd be a seller. You want to step in a little early at 18.1? I got no problem with that. I think that's a reasonable step to step in. Okay, again, just be prepared that you could lose. Be prepared that it could run and it could squeeze you before you get there. That's all. I mean, again, there's nothing wrong with it. But here, overall, is there anything that really look at in here that says we should be active? And I say, no, there isn't. Okay. How is that, Jeff? How you doing? Sean Penn should apologize for all the praise he gave Chavez. Yeah. But, you know, I don't know. I got my own opinions. As you guys know, I'm not too quiet about mostly in my opinion. All right. So, I mean, now we're dead in the middle. Where am I going? Okay. Now, the S&P, I believe, if I remember correctly, is breaking out, I think. And it is. It's right here up at the top. Now, so, interestingly enough, and for those of you who listen to the Bubba Show, okay, you know, every Monday, I have an analyst or a tech guy who's just strictly purely a technical analyst, okay? And he's been saying that he expects a new high, but his caveat is that the Dow cannot make a new high, but the S&P should. And that would correlate to a bearish ending for him. But we'll see. But here you go. Look, you just see the pattern, higher lows, higher lows, higher lows, up against the top. Now, you know, if someone said, I'm going to sell 2111, which is our target last week, I don't have a problem with that. I mean, again, you know that you've got some exposure, you've got some risk here, okay? because at the end of the day, you do. But here we are, you know, pushing up against the top. What was the all-time high? I don't remember. Not that I really even care, but let's find out what it was anyways. 21.32. Okay, so we could get there. I mean, again, it wouldn't be a total shock. I wouldn't fall off my chair. All right. I mean, you know, hey, I do think it'll get there. I mean, if I were going to time it up and try to predict it exactly, I would say it'll get there a week from Friday. Triple witching expiration. It's like the perfect storm, okay, to make all these events occur. It's a triple witching expiration right in the summer. Expirations in general, especially triple witching, are up, okay? You know, so I wouldn't be surprised. Now, is there something that could happen between now and then? Well, we've got the Fed, okay? We've got the Fed next week. You've got the Brexit vote coming out, which is after triple witching, okay? Hold on one second. Okay, so, you know, again, I'm not too excited or enthused either way. I'm really uninterested except for, you know, what I do with my futures trading short term because, again, those I'm trading in you know, a long-term gain is like 4 minutes, okay? So those I'm willing to, you know, play around with. But overall, as a general call on the market, I mean, I could only call a sell spot here, and I don't know that it's the right play. Again, we need some more activity. We need some more price volatility for us to want to be more active in the market. So I don't see it here. But to give you a number, you know, 21.20, I mean, if you want, look at 21.11 is probably good, okay? But I won't be surprised if it goes to the new highs from here. So, again, it just if it's a quick trade, it might work. We might drop down. You know, you could see a little bit of a sell-off tomorrow followed by another rally. I think you're going to see a lot of trading on edge because I think you've got, you know, just a lot of stuff going on, and I think that a lot of people are still trying to read what Yellen's going to do. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. The NASDAQ, Charlie, Oscar, Michael, Peter. Two, one, three, four, thank you. So the NASDAQ went from being garbage, remember? And we thought 4,800 was a sale. Look what happened. Boom, boom, boom. And here we are back up at the top. Now, this is still significantly away. I do not believe that the NASDAQ will make a new high. Okay? I believe it's too far. Now, it could, but certainly from a technical standpoint, okay, just roughly, I would say that probably 50-50. My dad used to drink that. 50-50 would be probably the area that I would see as a top here. You've got descending tops coming in. That would be a reason to believe that would be the high of this move coming here. Now, again, we could break out. I'm not saying we won't, but I wouldn't expect it, and I would be looking for a spot to sell up at 50-50, okay? I'm going to take away my 5,000 sale right now, okay, because, again, I don't see enough activity. I don't see the model or the risk-reward, or if you ever play poker, I don't see the pot odds. Give me enough favorability here to want to get involved. The Russell, Romeo Uniform Tango. I mean, this is like a bat out of, you know what? I mean, look at this. It keeps going. Now, of course, if we go back and actually look in time, we see, oh, well, really, it's not so great. Okay. And I don't believe this will ever get, not ever. I don't think this is getting here anytime soon. Okay. But certainly a run to 1,200 wouldn't surprise me. Okay. You know, I would be willing to look there to potentially sell it. Again, I'm trying not to be too aggressive on anything because, again, when we do get the movement we're looking for, we'll have plenty of time to react to it. And if we try to get in too early, you know, a lot of bad stuff happens when you start losing a little bit of money. Okay? You change your psychology, which is something if we have time, we'll talk about tonight as well. And we don't want to change our psychology. We want to learn to trade the way we trade and not get too involved with everything else. So let's just watch. Again, I know it's annoying, but we'll observe this. I mean, 1,200, certainly worth a risk. Okay? Oil.
This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horch. You know, again, we're talking very serious about risk and what to get involved with and what not to get involved with, which is why we're saying that not to take too many chances here because it's not worth it. In the meantime, if you miss an episode of The Bubba Show, which is definitely worth it, you got to go to libertytalk.fm and download it every day. Come on now. Let's go. Bring it on. And we're going to step out of here for a break. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba. I come from. Right back after the break.
How about you? I don't need baggy clothes.
Trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report.
Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz, and I hope you're getting the message that I'm trying to make loud and clear, and that there's not a hell of a lot to do, so let's not do a lot. Let's observe the market and wait for our opportunity to take advantage of it. That is really the key to being a successful trader. But in the meantime, let's get back to the Monday night call, because we're on a roll. Here we go.
Now, oil's been sitting around here, Charlie Lima, and, you know, last week we wanted to sell it, you know, around 50, okay? And, you know, look at where we are. We haven't gone anywhere. And it's funny, we did have a little bit of a sell-off. Again, I'm not celebrating. I'm not throwing a party. Now, this would concern me. This action concerns me a little bit, okay? Why? Because that's higher lows. I know that, you know, we had a very big commodity rally, and that's basically because of the weakness in the dollar, okay? So could we break out here? We could. I mean, I'm short oil. I'm going to continue to look for spots to sell it. Okay. I will not, as much as I'd like to sell it aggressively here, I have to let this pattern play before I get too aggressive, because this is a pattern that could, you know, pop them, you know, 4 or 5%, you know, and that's a little bit painful when you're in this product. So I am looking to be short. I do like 50, but I kind of want to observe and kind of see the action around 50 before I make an official call here now. Okay. I mean, I do like being shorted, and I'm looking for a way to short it. But again, I don't think the reason to jump here is warranted. Okay, I think you need to, you know, wait patiently and let the market straight. Gold, Golf Charlie. Okay, so last week we thought that 1200 was a good spot to potentially look for it, and it was. Okay, and then we thought 1240. And it was. Now, again, we're a little bit past 1240. You know, again, I will look at this. Now, I like gold, as you know, but I do believe that you'll probably see some more selling pressure. I do not think that we're just going to spin it and turn around and run from here. I think, you know, 1240, 1250 is probably a reasonable spot to sell it. I think 1200 is a reasonable spot to buy it. And I think it will churn in here for a little bit of time. Again, a lot of this will base on the dollar. Okay. But eventually, you know, we know what affects the market, but eventually those things do wear off as well, and then they actually trade what they're supposed to trade, okay? Because for months, the commodities were getting hammered, and nobody cared, and the dollar was getting hammered. But now all of a sudden, they're going up, so, oh, the dollar's going down, so the commodities got to go up. Anyways, I would look at this at 1250. I think that's probably a pretty good spot. You know, if you want to wait a little longer, you might try 1265. You know, but again, I don't see this as a runaway. I think there's a greater likelihood we hit 1200 or, you know, back to 1201 before we hit 1270. That's my prognosis from this chart. Okay, and this big rally on Friday was just that. It was just a big, sharp rally based on a lot of bad news and a lot of panic buying, and throw in a weaker dollar. The bonds. Zulu Bravo. All right, well, you know, again, I hate to say I'm right, but I'm right. I'm right again, okay? I thought we could just buy these last week, and of course they were a buy. And here they are, right up to the tippy top, and we're getting a little bit of a sell-off. So up here, you know, 167-ish in that area, you can be a seller. You can look if you want to be a buyer at 164, 165. But probably, we're going to probably come all the way back down to the bottom again. Okay, that looks just like the pattern. Again, this, you know, it's not rocket science. I mean, basically, the market's moved. Now, at some point, it may, you know, for example, it could stop here and start forming a bottom here like it did here, but look what it eventually did break. But again, we don't know. But right now, my expectations are at least 164.30-ish, you know, in this area. Okay, if it stops here, then I'll have to reevaluate it. But for now, I would be a seller up at the top, okay? And I would not look to be a real buyer until we came all the way back down again. Okay, and that will happen again when we start getting some more talk from the Fed, if they're going to raise or, you know, whatever. And, of course, the FOMC is a week from, well, it's 2 weeks. It's a two-day meeting, but a week from Wednesday is the announcement. But, again, I don't think interest rates are going up, unfortunately. I believe they should. I believe that would cause some problem in the market, but I think that we could handle it, and I think it would be better for the economy, but that's not my decision. Okay, the dollar, Delta X-ray Yankee. So the dollar got smushed, okay? And, of course, they made my target farther away. They're killing me, okay? Here, I'm getting farther away from my target now, okay? But, again, I believe that we'll still get there. You know, I don't think this is over, okay? I think this is a temporary setback. I think, actually, this is probably a buy spot for the dollar, you know, just around 94, okay? I am long the dollar. You saw it. I showed you. I am short the euro. But, again, I think we'll get a move. I don't think, but I did think, just FYI, I didn't think it would be faster when I looked at it the other, before, because before I thought that the Fed was certainly going to raise, which would make the dollar stronger automatically. So now there's a little bit of question out there. And then, of course, the euro currency, which, you know, I kept warning. I said, look, we go on a sell down here, it's going to probably pop, and boom, boom, look what happened. Okay. So this is probably a pretty good spot, you know, to take a stab at it, okay, if you're so inclined. Okay. I mean, again, if you trade this product, this is probably a pretty reasonable area. If you want to try to wait till 115, you can do that too. Again, there is no market that is going so crazy that I have to be involved, okay, other than the grain markets, okay? But these markets are not wild enough, and there's not enough activity or action for me to really want to get too excited about anything. I mean, I will carry some small positions based on what I see, but I'm not going to get too aggressive. I don't see the point to it. And then, of course, our good old friend, the VIX. You know, and here it is, down at the bottom, okay? Now, although the S&P was kind of breaking out to the top side, the VIX did not quite perform as poorly as one might have thought today. In fact, the VIX was up a little bit in a market that was up very big. Now, that could be a little bit of protection buying. It could be, you know, it is some reason to think about it. It wouldn't make me do anything, okay? But it is something to think about, okay? And, you know, somebody asked me, you know, Matt, who comes on my show, talks about the VIX futures and the commitment of traders, and the banks are buying a lot of VIX futures. But you got to remember one thing. They can buy all the VIX futures they want. Okay. They're still net long in the market. They're very much like me, but they're not selling. Okay. They're not trading. They're looking for a move, and they're looking for it to be down because the probability suggests that it should be down. But they're not, like, liquidating their longs to get short here. They're just, you know, they're basically offsetting part of their position. So let's not get carried away. Yeah, the banks are still buying it. They're holding a record number of contracts right now. But, again, remember, they can hold a lot longer. And if they bust out, guess what? We get to bail them out. Okay? So, now,
So, you know, again, that's important to understand. when you're trading, you are not worried about what everybody else is doing, because there's always got, there has to be somebody on the other side of your trade. Okay. So when you're buying, somebody is selling to you. Okay. Now, are they selling to you because they believe the other way? Are they selling to you because they believe they're taking in a profit? It really doesn't matter, as long as you're using the market footprint to put yourself in the best position. That's what you care about. So if you're watching the footprint and you're getting a market that's cooperating and giving you the right movement, you don't really care what anybody else is doing. However, okay, knowing that there's another side is another story. But again, we don't follow analysts, what they say, because they're full of crap. Okay, we don't follow Goldman Sachs or J.P. Morgan because they're full of crap. What we do is we watch the footprint and we get involved. Now, in the back of our mind, if we get to a great spot to get short, obviously it feels better knowing that the banks are short as well. But you cannot trade like a bank because you don't have the money to trade like a bank. You can't trade like Warren Buffett because you don't have the money to trade like Warren Buffett. Remember, those guys can go a long, long way before they run into trouble. Now, if you remember, or maybe you don't remember, but Warren Buffett in 2008 made a deal with Goldman Sachs and got one of his usual sweetheart deals. However, the stock went from 140 to 20 or so. He didn't have to get out. Now, I don't know about you, but I can't hold the stock from 140 to 20. Okay. And that's the difference. So you cannot compare yourself to an outfit or somebody like a Warren Buffett or a bank or a Carl Icahn, because we don't have the staying power or the capital behind us to exist through a move like that. So always keep that in mind when you hear what others are doing. Okay. But the best clue that you can always follow, if Goldman says one thing, it usually means they're doing the opposite. You can look through the chart, and when it comes that it looks like it's the opposite, like crude oil, when they called for $20 crude oil, it was evident that 26 was going to be the low, and the footprints were clear as could be. That was a time to buy, and of course, crude oil has doubled since then. But again, that's what you want. That you can use as long as you can get a matching or a corresponding footprint, that would give you a great opportunity to be better and have a good solid trade on. But to try to follow them verbatim, so to speak, or, you know, word for word, you're never going to do it, because you just don't have, I don't have, nobody really has that kind of staying power that allows you just to ignore it. Because again, what if you're wrong? And what if it doesn't turn around? Well, they can get away with it because, again, we'll bail them out. Okay? So keep that in mind when you're trading and when you're listening to others. And just be careful, because again, listening to others will cost you more money. Learn to be rote, non-emotional, and looking at the footprint of the market. You'll be a much happier person when it's all said and done. In the meantime, this is The Bubba Show. This is Bubba, Todd Bubba Horowitz. And I want to remind you, if you miss an episode, LibertyTalk.fm will allow you to download not only The Bubba Show, but the weekend Sporting Edge that I do with Xander. So make sure you check that out and get those downloads flowing. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. I'm going to step out here for a break, and we'll come back and finish off for today. After the break, The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. I've been feeling real good. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. It's me, Bubba. What's going on, everybody? And we're doing some education today. And, of course, I love doing education because I like teaching and I like training you and I like getting you better. So let's get back so you can hear some of the headlines that we were talking about. And you can obviously hear my lovely comments. So let's get back to the Monday Night Call. Here we go.
First question tonight is, have we not learned that this is all about the Fed? Okay. I mean, everything that goes on is about the Federal Reserve. Okay. As sad and as sick as that may be, that's what it is. Okay. Every conversation on TV from every pundit starts with the Fed is going to boom. Well, that's because that's the facts. Because right now, an average investor has nowhere to go with their money. So either you hide it in your house, you try to trade it in some stocks that you're looking for some action, or you just generally invest it into the market chasing yield, because you know they tell you on TV every day, well, the dividend in of the stock market is much greater than the 10-year. And, of course, if you did not hear this explanation, I know some of you have heard it, but I'm going to explain it one more time. Okay, that's a bunch of garbage, because if you put money in the 10-year, that money is guaranteed, and you will get your money, every dime of it plus the interest that you agreed on when you bought it. If you put your money in the stock market, you may get the dividend. They may change the dividend. But if you put in $100,000 in the market and it now becomes worth $20,000, the dividends are not very good. You did not preserve the basis. Okay. So, again, don't let the TV fool you like they're fooling everybody else into trapping you into continuing to go. Now, if you're hedged, it doesn't matter. Again, that's always the caveat I can use. So you can continue to buy if you're hedged because you know that if you're raw, you're protected to the downside. Now, I found a couple of interesting stats. Now, this whole thing, it's always about debt, okay? If you've never noticed, every major market collapse usually comes down to debt, okay? That's usually the problem, okay? Well, now Japan has been at this for only, I think, almost 30 years. Japan's debt is 220% of their GDP. Okay, 41% of their tax base goes to service their debt. Think about that. Okay, 41% of their tax base goes to service just their debt. Okay. Now, in 2008, we had approximately $1.3 trillion in the housing bubble. Today, that number is now $10.4 trillion. Okay. The one difference, again, and this is why I always want everybody to understand, the caveat here is part of it is government debt. Okay. And part of it is going to come back. Okay. Now, it's not good. Either way, it's not good. It's too much debt. But part of it, you know, nobody recognized, nobody's ever said this on air, but I'll say it to you guys. I think I've said it before. But the Federal Reserve does own a number of Treasury bonds. And they can hold them to maturity. And they will get paid on them. Okay? So it's not like it's all debt, but it's quirked up there a little bit. It's a little funky. Okay? Banks buying VIX sleeves. No, they're buying VIX futures. They're buying the outright futures. Okay. But one of the problems is that the debt is multiplying quickly, okay, which is not a good sign. You know, it's like a geometric progression. You know, the from 1 to 2, it took a while, but now from, you know, 8 to 16, it didn't take so long. That's another issue to think about. Again, this does not necessarily affect the stock market. It affects you and me just as your everyday living, but it doesn't really affect the stock market necessarily. Not today, anyways. Okay. Now, we've talked about this a number of times, but it's now coming out. You know, I was ahead of the curve, as typically I am. Auto subprime, okay? There's trouble in the auto world, okay? Because the auto debt alone is bigger than the subprime housing debt, okay? Now, again, I said this last week, I believe, that the auto companies have sold their soul to sell more cars now, but, you know, they're giving 10-year notes to people who can't pay for them. Not a good sign, okay? Now, I want to ask you guys a question. You don't have to reply if you don't want to. No big deal, okay? But I'm curious, okay? All the reports, every economist, everybody who comes on TV says the economy is in great shape. Everything is wonderful, okay? And we're growing. We're growing. I'm curious if you think am I wrong? Do you agree or disagree with me? I don't care. I mean, please disagree with me if you do. I don't want you to agree with me just because you think you should. Am I wrong? Is the economy stink, or is it really growing? I mean, I know some places housing is better, but I know my house is underwater, so I don't understand. But you know, if you think that it's really growing, let me say so. And again, don't let me influence you. I'm really curious because I make a lot of statements based on information I get from people that I know. Okay. Okay. All right. So. Okay, my company's doing well. Good. Believe me, I'm glad our company's doing good. Okay. I want everybody to do good. I'm the biggest advocate for underdogs. Okay. That was always my deal in life, is I always fought for the underdog. And I hope that everybody's company's doing well. I don't want the economy bad. I want the economy to be good. I'd like to eliminate Bubba's pitch. Unfortunately, I keep growing more. certain local markets like these are Austin or Dallas, but not. Okay. I get it. Jobs, and that's the problem, okay? Some of the rich are spending, Wife works at a window place, 50 hours a week. Construction must be good. Somebody's buying houses. Good. Okay, good. All right, so not as bad as I thought. Not great, but not as bad as I thought. All right, and now, you know, you've got the Fed, you've got the regulators, and you've got the government. And, you know, it's kind of like lions and tigers and bears, oh my. I mean, you know, Fed, the regulators, and the government, oh my. I mean, would they please just get the hell out of the way? Who the hell wants them? They're not worth anything anyways. Okay, and I don't know if anybody caught Yellen speaking today, okay, or Lockhart, who spoke later today. But the two biggest windbags that said nothing and basically just double-talked around the issues, okay? And I don't get it, okay? I don't get – what I really don't get, honestly, is how very smart people still buy into the fact that they have a clue of what they're doing. I mean, again, maybe that could be me. I'm not saying that I'm right. I don't see it in my own mind, okay? Now, you know, I want to know is where are we going to find the growth? You know, we had a jobs print of 38,000, okay? Where was Obama talking about then? You know, he's always out under 200. He's always out there yapping. Where was he yapping here? Because the real problem is, think about this. Based on their cockeyed numbers, we're almost at full employment, okay? If we're in full employment, we got a real problem, right? Because nobody's making any real money. So where is the growth going to come from? If we can't free up bank liquidity and lending and create entrepreneurs, who's going to pay these employees? Okay, I don't know if you heard, like McDonald's, for example. McDonald's is cutting down their staff. They're buying out all their older people, and they're downsizing their number of people that they use at their corporate site. And this is not new. This is not something that's going to change. This is going to continue to happen because it's been happening for years. We just choose to ignore it. Okay, now. I think one of the interesting things I've heard is the treasuries are at the top, okay? Now, the longest bull market in history is the United States Treasury bonds, okay? They've been rallying for 36 years, and people are starting to call the top again. Now, of course, we know you can't call the top, and I'm not saying it won't be the top, but certainly how can somebody call it? This is not like it's a bubble. This is a 36-year rally.
When I first started trading in 1980, the treasury bonds were at like 5,500. They're now 166, which doesn't sound like a lot, but that's a lot. Okay, it's 111,000 for one contract. Okay, so again, rates have been falling because the Fed has gotten more involved, keeping rates lower. And at the end of the day, that's what we look at. And those are things that, you know, again, you can't predict the top of that market. I'm not saying it's not the top, but I certainly can't predict it here. I mean, you know, again, why would I think? If I think the Fed is going to continue to lower rates, that means bond futures are going to continue to go higher. And so why would I think this is the top? Now, could we be coming near a big sell-off? You would think so at some point. But that's always the trading idea is to follow the proper footprint. And then you never have to think about it. You don't have to make that guess. Well, I hope you loved the presentation. I know it was very educational. And, of course, you got to hear me bitch and moan, which I do well. And got to hear a lot of my thoughts on a lot of things. But overall, if you ever miss an episode, libertytalk.fm will get you there. And you can download The Bubba Show plus The Sporting Edge every week. But for today, that'll do it. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We will see you back here tomorrow. Same time, same channel. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Have a great night, everybody. Thank you so much for being here. We'll see you tomorrow.
I got a feeling.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.